Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
This is Money Stories, Episode 8, Money and Multiples with Lauren Fall. Greetings and welcome to Money Stories, a podcast where I interview fellow Catholics and Christians so we can all learn from their personal money stories. I'm Caitlin Kano, a wife, mom, financial counselor, and student of all things stewardship. Today we're talking with Lauren Fall. Lauren's a proud mom of 5 kids, including 4-year-old triplet boys. She and her husband both work in the tech industry and live in San Francisco. I met Lauren years ago when we were both military spouses living in Arizona. Since then, a lot has changed for her and her family. We had a great conversation talking about how she and her husband financially navigated having multiples and how she and her husband decided to make a career move that would benefit their family. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
This is going to be fun. And for our listeners, I'm sure no one knows how far Lauren and I go back, but the last time I remember talking to you was in my kitchen after I had baby number 3. And I don't know if you remember this, but you brought me a meal.
I did. That's right.
And we had a sweet conversation in the kitchen and you were expecting your first.
Yes,
I believe.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And it was a minute ago. And you've had a lot of stuff happen in your life since that point, since that appreciated meal. So can you tell me what has happened? What is your money story?
Sure, absolutely. So we have been very fortunate. I guess it's been about 9 years since all of that has happened when I was pregnant with my first. We welcomed our first, who is now 8 years old. And about 2 years after he was born, we welcomed our second, a little girl, and thought, let's go for another one. This feels like it's a good thing for us. This is where we're being led. And on number 3, we went into the doctor's office and found out that we were having 3 more. So we welcomed triplets. And my second had just turned 5 days before then. So we had 5 kids, 4 and under, in a very quick amount of time. So 4 years, 5 kids. And now we have had a lot of other life changes that have kind of gone on during, during life. And now the kids are 8, 6, and the triplets are 4. So never a dull moment.
Sure, never a dull moment in your household.
Not one.
Such a blessing, I'm sure.
I would like a moment, but we don't have many right now.
No, and I'm sure it's just constant fun and never a stressful time, right?
Blessed. Very blessed, for sure.
So when you found out you were having triplets, I didn't realize they were spontaneous triplets.
Sure.
That's amazing. What were the financial worries that you and your husband discussed during your pregnancy? What were those conversations like?
Sure. I mean, literally on the doctor's office table when they were doing the ultrasound and they told us it was three, my immediate reaction was, do we have to get a minivan, right? So like that was, you know, like that's like your first thought is logistics, right? How do you get through all of this stuff? So I think during the actual pregnancy, you immediately turn to that problem solving, but at least that's what I did. I immediately turned to problem solving. Okay, how do we make sure that we can get through one, the pregnancy, and two, you know, those, you know, kind of the blur that comes after welcoming multiples, right? And we did not quite yet have the conversations about college funds and savings and all that stuff at the time. It very much turned into like, what's the closest alligator to the boat for us? And that was, all right, how do we logistically figure out how to have five children in our lives in our small home in North Carolina at the time? You know, and so we quickly went into that problem solving mode of, okay, like what kind of help are we going to need to get with the older two kids when I'm physically not capable of doing this? Mm-hmm. Geographically, where are the hospitals located to where we're living? And the hospital that we needed was going to be one that could take care of this high-risk pregnancy for us, which was over an hour away from where we were living at the time. So that was going to be a lot of doctor's appointments. It was going to be a lot of, you know, driving back and forth. I'm a very small person. I'm 5 feet tall. So triplets, I was about as big around as I am tall at some point during this pregnancy. So getting behind the wheel wasn't going to be an option, right? So we quickly knew that we had to look at, okay, how do we actually get through this phase of it? And that came from everything from, okay, let's start dividing the kids up bedroom wise. Let's put the two big kids in one bedroom. Let's make sure we have a car that is reliable, that we can make sure we have all the car seats that can fit in. And that went down to like, what family do we have available to really help us physically, mm-hmm. You know, kind of take on some of this responsibility. And my husband, Adam, and I are blessed with two parents that have held our hands every step of the way throughout our entire relationship, let alone, of course, during this chaotic time as well.
Wow. So yeah, you had to handle the closest alligator to the boat because you probably couldn't see past that in those kind of situations. And you said you didn't have those conversations yet about college funds and those bigger conversations. Are those ones that you've had since then, or do you just let those things handle themselves as they happen?
That is something that we're very aware of, and that's kind of what it comes into the prioritization of how we spend our money, right? We really have buckets of money that, like, you know, right off the top, right off the bat, we have all those kind of savings accounts in place. We have the money that's kind of set aside for us to be a little bit more risky and to put in the stock market and options like that. But we also have, hey, here's the stuff that we have, no kidding, we need to prioritize. And so the college funds and all of those things came, I would say, probably within like 6 months to a year after they were born. It was, again, not the biggest priority that we had right off the bat. We'd already had college savings accounts and, you know, 529s and stuff established for the older kids. We quickly educated ourselves, and thanks to some introductions from family, friends, and things like that, that helped us talk with an actual money person, you know, the finance person, yeah, that said, hey, you actually don't need to have five different 529s. You don't need to have like all these different accounts, and helped us get much more smart with where we were putting our money for that longer term and all the different parameters. Like, what if one kid gets a scholarship? What if one kid decides to not go to college, right? And to accommodate for all of that and make sure that our money was going to be used properly when the time came.
So it's not always necessarily about having as much as everyone tells you to have. It's just prioritizing what you have in a way that fits with your family's values. What surprises have your kids thrown at you?
Surprises have the kids. I mean, the one, their existence, that was a big surprise.
Right.
Yeah, probably the first one. I think, yes, it's a lot of work. Having five children, young children, is a lot of work, but it's actually, you know, the saying, the more the merrier, is actually so true. And it's not an exponential amount of work. You know, there was, everyone always says, oh, three for one, you know, what a great deal you got. Like, the only thing these kids have shared is my uterus, right? they haven't really shared much outside of that range. So I think that, like, while a lot of that side of it has just escalated with the amount of stuff that we've need, the way that they've been able to just bond together and become such a unit has actually just blown my mind. And like, never more present than right now when we're in the middle of, you know, sheltering in place in the state of California. And there's, you know, all seven of us are living in a shoebox in San Francisco. You know, never has that been more true, and never have I been more grateful to have all of those dynamics, all of those personalities, everyone really representing themselves and as a team unit, whether they know it or not. I think they are largely unaware, but that has made us such a stronger team my husband and I, but also the older children and all seven of us combined.
I love that. And you mentioned that you're in San Francisco now. You had the ship list in North Carolina. For those who don't know, both Lauren and I were Marine spouses. Our husbands flew Harriers back in the day, and now they're each doing separate things. So can you tell me about what led you to San Francisco and kind of financial implications of those decisions and how you balance that with having five kids in San Francisco, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal is one word. Crazy is another.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there comes a point in your military career that you're given a chance to, you live up to the contract that you signed up for, which is around 11, 12 year mark or so after you've committed to being in the military. When you get to that glorious 20 year mark, that is what kind of signals that you have the retirement, that you have the pensions, that you have these benefits for the rest of your life. We opted the road less traveled, perhaps, by getting out early. And I think that surprised a lot of people, especially when we had five children. And it seemed to be the very, the natural thing to do was to stick it out for 20 years. But we also came to this conclusion in our, you know, in the midst of the craziness, it was important to me that Adam made this decision on his own. My husband made this decision on his own. And that while our lives factored into it, obviously, that I was supportive of whatever he decided to do, and that we were gonna, you know, get through whatever hurdles were presented to us. But when we really looked at what we wanted that family dynamic to be, when we really prioritized how we wanted to be spending that time, what we wanted to accomplish together as a family, but also as professionals, we were just very much pulled. It was very clear. You know, I always prayed at that point that it wasn't going to be an easy decision. I just prayed it was going to be an obvious decision. And during that phase in our lives, it was very obvious to us that we were, that this lifestyle was not one that was super conducive to us being happy and fulfilled longer term, and that we did have other options. So we decided to get out of the Marine Corps and to try our hands in the tech industry. I was fortunate to have a career up until the little boys were born, and that took a back seat for a while. And I was able to kind of do some volunteer work and kind of pursue other areas of interest at that point. But when an opportunity came to just try a new course in life and to try a new phase of our careers, we opted to do it. We kind of took a bet on ourselves. We decided that there was certain risks that we were willing to assume as long as we had, you know, that the bare minimums of what we needed and prioritized. And that goes hand with, you know, the college savings accounts and making sure that we had all the stability that we needed with the benefits and the healthcare and, you know, living a lifestyle that we were comfortable living with our family. Once that was taken care of, were we willing to assume risk for everything that was additional? And we were. We were willing to assume that risk. And so we decided to move to Silicon Valley. We've moved out here. We live in San Francisco now. After Adam works for a social media company, a big social media company, and they have all the great benefits. They've got all the security in the world that they could possibly offer for our family that we felt very comfortable making that leap. I, on the other hand, after we got settled out here, I work for a small startup. And so startup life is a little bit crazier, and it's a little bit more uncertain and riskier. But with that balance between both of us, having that we were able to kind of both, you know, pursue those options. The great, glorious thing about working for a startup is that we can't afford office space, so I get to work from home. That was incredibly important to me. My entire career, I've always worked from home, and that's been incredible. That's been a biggest priority for me, is just because I want to be in the home with my kids. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm the caregiver and that I'm with them every step of the way. And so I've been incredibly fortunate to, you know, be in a position that I'm professionally very challenged in a very kind of crazy, chaotic environment, professionally and personally. I'm in a very challenging, chaotic environment, but I'm able to blend those really well. And I think, as a family cohort, we are also able to balance out the amount of risk that we're able to assume.
That's wonderful. And so you're able to be home and be with your kids every step of the way and grow yourself professionally, because I feel like so many people are nervous to take that step. And I'm wondering, you said you were praying it would be obvious. What made it obvious to you that this was the next right step?
So I think one, that we were very comfortable leaving behind what we'd already accomplished, what he had already accomplished and what we had already accomplished in our community, in our family, in the Marine Corps, in that government world. Like, you know, that was a box that we had checked very intentionally, and there was nothing left to be done there that he was going to regret. right? And so he had given it his all. He had accomplished what he had set out to accomplish. It's important for him to serve his country. And I think that he felt like, you know, he had accomplished that. So that was a big part of it. I think the obvious part was when you're looking at all the options on the table, right? He was fortunate to have a number of different job offers. The obvious thing was honestly the money, right? Being able to provide for our family. And he had two other offers that we had, you know, we crammed the numbers. We said, okay, what's the cost of living going to look like in this exorbitantly crazy city of, you know, price wise in San Francisco? You know, what do the school district situations look like? What are all of our basic needs that we have prioritized? Are they going to be covered? What does that threshold look like? It was very obvious when the numbers came in that didn't reach that threshold for us. And then the one that did, he was fortunate to get two offers from the same company. So then it was a little bit more of a decision between, okay, what was the more challenging, fulfilling role and team? But knowing that, we had a number and even at the end, you know, you still second guess yourself. You said, okay, well, maybe we can go down to one car. Maybe we don't need two cars. Maybe we can live in a two bedroom and all the kids, all five kids can just share one room and we'll all laugh about it one point, right? Like, this is the time in life. This is the season when mom made all of us share a room. Remember that? You know, get a couple of bunk beds. It'll be fine. But, you know, try as we may in those situations, like we were pulled back saying, no, that's not realistic for us. Like we have this number. And so I'm fortunate that God made it very clear to us what was the right path. This company was also able to help us financially move our family out here and get settled and, you know, put our clothes or put our furniture in storage until we could find a home, like all of those different things that you have to factor those tangible things into your decisions, because without that, it wouldn't have been possible. It would not have been obvious at least. Right. And so for us, like that was definitely a prayer that had been answered by making it very obvious what was the right decision.
How has having multiples affected your other financial plans going forward? I know we had mentioned earlier that you just kind of handle the closest alligator to the boat. But now that you two are settling into careers and it's not just the multiples, you have two other children. So it's a total of five within 4 years. What decisions do you make and how do you prioritize those decisions having such a large family in such an expensive geographic area?
Sure. So when we have, I think actually physically moving has also really helped us with this of just like Marie Kondoing our entire life, right? Like not just
beautiful,
amazing, like not just like your clothes and your sweaters and all of like that stuff, but just your entire life, like really saying, hey, like, what do we care about? Like, what's the important things for us to really focus on and where are we going to actually put our money where our mouth is? Right. And so it's one of those things like, of being able to say, hey, what's not important to us right now? Thankfully, like we work and we live in places where we don't need business wardrobes. We don't need like fancy cars. We don't need that kind of stuff. And so I think it's really important to continue to prioritize, like really looking at yourself and saying, is this something that we need or is this a want? And that has never been more clear than living in a very expensive place with a lot of kids, right? Like, is this a need or a want? And again, very crystal clear on what side those are on. We also can forecast out what our salary looks like, what bonuses and things like that we can expect. And so we have, it's not a number as much as a percentage of saying, okay, when we get this bonus, and that's part of like the bonus is part of the contract that we had, that Adam had signed, for example, getting, you know, this new job as a startup, it's a little bit trickier, but you know, knowing that you do have select bonuses that are going to come in saying 50% of that has to go to savings, right? 50% right off the bat is going to go to raising up that level of the 529 account, right? Or whatever it is saying, this is where the levels that we need to make that happen. And we need to check those boxes, right? So we prioritize those. Then we also say, okay, like, what do we have around our house situation? Investing in our home has to be something. We were fortunate to be able to buy a place out here. And so being able to say, all right, what kind of investments do we want to make in the home that we're living in to make it a, you know, one, sustainable for our family. We put a lot of wear and tear on a home, as you might imagine. But also saying, okay, what does the market look like? What kind of investments can we make to upgrade kitchens or things like that? So that's, you know, another area that we've had to prioritize. But we've also been able to prioritize like just family, how we spend our time together as a family, right? And as a couple, right? And being able to say, hey, we both love to eat. So maybe once a quarter, we're going to go out and try one of those fancy restaurants in the city. That means that like the rest of it, sometimes we have, you know, not the most glorious, glamorous, you know, dinners planned and things like that. But we know that, like, that's where we're going to kind of prioritize and make that something special for us. Family vacations, things like that, that you can kind of plan out in advance. You know, and family vacations as, you know, with our larger family as well, cousins and grandparents and things of that nature, being able to really say, okay, what's Christmas going to look like? We've got a plan for that down the road. We've also gotten much better at saying, okay, on the other side, what's not important, like toys are really not important. Christmas gifts, like we've gotten really good. You know, the baby Jesus received 3 gifts. We give our kids 3 gifts for Christmas. That's all they get. Granted, they probably get plenty of others when you add in grandparents and, you know, other relatives and stuff like that, but they know what to expect, right? And Christmas, you know, becomes those 3 gifts, but it also becomes so much more. So, you know, we've learned to kind of manage our own expectations that way, in the good ways and the ways that might seem a little bit more kind of cut and dry, I think.
It really comes down to prioritization. And when you have so many kids, I mean, I only have 4.
Only.
But it really does come down to prioritization and making those family traditions. And your children will remember the 3 gifts as a beautiful family tradition, not like they were limited in any way, I'm sure, in the future. Right. That's just great. And if you can think about when you found out you're pregnant with the triplets and all the thoughts that were swirling around in your brain and how are we going to do this and what is this going to look like? What tips would you give yourself? What tips would you give someone who's going through that same situation to help them, you know, realize that there is a way to progress forward as a financial steward? The Lord is very good.
Yeah. This may not be the advice that you want your listeners to hear, but you have to get through that first year, right? Like, honestly, like money was not the biggest, you know, priority for us that first year. It wasn't that we were, you know, exorbitant and that we were just throwing money around type of things, but you know what? Sometimes you need your Starbucks, right? Sometimes you need that to get you through the day, to keep you mentally sane, to keep the fact that, you know, your kids are having peanut butter for dinner. There's protein in it. It's okay. Right. Like, but you have to be able to get through that first year, being kind to yourself, being kind to everyone that you're with, that everyone that's here to help you. I'm really bad at asking for help. I never do it. And but like learning that when other people step into your lives, when things are chaotic, and they choose to step into your lives and they're wanting to be there, that you need to take all that in, right? That you need to take all the help that's available to you because people want to help you. And I would say, like, just be kind to yourself. You're going to have time to take a deep breath. Those kids are eventually going to sleep, right? Things are eventually going to even themselves out. And, you know, and eventually you're going to be able to kind of take a deep breath and say, okay, financially, where are we? Like, let's, you know, but also just like take into consideration that this is a really hard thing you're doing, you know, and it's a really hard time in your life. And sometimes you just, you have to put, you know, like put priorities in place of like survival, right? It really feels like survival at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not about having a perfect plan or implementing a perfect plan. It's again, priorities. And your child's primary caregiver, usually being the mother, needs to be okay. And if that involves an occasional splurge or getting your nails done once in a while, if that doesn't fit with your financial plan, it's okay. You know,
yeah. It also comes in line, like Adam and I both love to cook. Before the triplets came along, we would probably go to farmers markets and we would buy all the fresh fruit and the fresh vegetables and we would do something great and wonderful and we try out new recipes all the time. We have a whole lot of canned green beans in our house these days, right? Like Costco, like, you know, the Instacart order from Costco, they have us pegged as a small business. Just because the amount of snacks and the food that we eat and my husband's love of buying in bulk, even though we live in a shoebox. But you know, like those kind of things of saying, hey, like we're not going to do the fresh green beans. We got the canned green beans. And you know what? The kids don't know much of a difference, right? Like I'm understanding that there's little ways and little tweaks here and there that you learn that you're going to save money. You know, you can save money. You can prioritize other things. Are your kids being healthy? Are they getting nourished? Are they getting the love and the care and the attention that they need in a healthy way? And there's ways to do that without breaking the bank.
Right. Lauren, you're the best. I really appreciate you. This has been...
I'm grateful that you thought of me to include me. This is a wonderful thing that you're doing.
I appreciate you being here, and I know someone's going to find this helpful. And this has been such a blessing to have you, so thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For more information about Compass Catholic Ministries, including the various Bible studies and services that we offer, please visit compasscatholic.org. If you enjoy Money Stories, please share it with a friend. You may also like Compass Catholic's other podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, available wherever you get your podcast. If you have any comments about today's show or suggestions for future shows, please email us at info@compasscatholic.org. Thanks for listening and God bless.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.